Good evening. I hope that you've turned your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. That's where we take our text tonight. I title it, Practice These Things. The most important thing that I could probably tell you, and it's where I've had to start. It's where I had to start my walk with Jesus. And I'm telling you, if you're serious about growing, this is what you have to do. You have to watch your mindset. There are things that you must practice actively. And in Philippians chapter 4, he tells us in verse 9, Paul writes, "The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." I mean, a guarantee. Do you want the God of peace to be with you? Well, the things you've learned, received, heard, and you've seen in me. Well, we didn't see Paul, but we sure have learned and received and a lot of the things that he said. And so he said, if you'll do this, you know, practice these things, the things that I've taught, the things you receive. You've got to put things into practice. Now, let me ask you a question. How many times have we said, "Boy, we've learned a whole lot"? I hear that from time to time. "Well, I've learned so much." Learning is one thing. Putting it into practice is a whole other element. A lot of people can learn a lot of Bible verses. A lot of people can memorize Bible verses. But if you never put it into practice, it's not a faith. It is just nothing but mental, as you would get at a school. It's not affecting your daily life. And so Paul says, you want the God of peace to be with you? You've got to practice the things that you've learned, the things that you received, the things that you heard, and of course they're seen in me. That's the only way to guarantee the God of peace. And how many of us need God's peace? Well, if you look back with me in verse 7, he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You pay attention. The peace of God goes beyond human comprehension, he says. And you know what the peace of God is actually for? He said the peace of God will guard. That's a military term. He's going to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How many times in our lives do we need our minds guarded? How many times do we need our hearts guarded? Because out of the hearts are what comes a lot of our fears, a lot of our worries. Our mind starts dwelling. We need the peace of God in there. You want to make sure the peace of God is there? You got to practice these things. You got to know what to do. And how do you do that? Look quickly at verse 6. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." I mean, stop anxieties in their tracks. How do you stop anxieties? Practice these things. What things? Pray about it. Tell God about your anxiousness. Quit letting the anxiety affect your mind and your heart and learn to turn it over to the Lord through prayer, through supplications, through requests. And if you'll do that, God of peace will be there. The God of peace will engage that. And so you and I, we've got to practice these things. Our anxiety's not going to leave, nor the other things. So what do we want to guarantee? I want to guarantee the peace of God's there. And I want to guarantee that no matter what's going on, it's there. Well, I've got to practice these things. What are these things that we've learned and received? Well, verse 8. He says, "Finally, brethren,
whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Dwell. That's how you practice. You have to dwell. And one of the things you have to dwell on, the first thing he says in verse 8, whatever is true. You got to dwell on what is true. You know, the word literally means things that conform to reality. Now, if it doesn't conform to reality, it's not true. Things have to conform to reality. You and I have to think, our minds have to be engaged in the true reality of situations. You know what that means? There is no such things as what ifs. And how many times do we practice what ifs? Well, what if it goes this way? What if it turns out like this? What if this happens? And what if that happens? That's not reality. What ifs are never reality, brethren. We got to start dealing in reality in the way we set our mind and what we think about. And stop the what ifs. Otherwise, how is the peace of God going to guard you? Let me give you a quick illustration. Come back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, Jesus, you know, he comes across, I said 8, I think it's John 4, excuse me. He comes across John chapter 4. He comes across a woman from Samaria. And she's a Samaritan, half Jew at best. She's excluded from the rites of God. And Jesus asks her for a drink. She's amazed that he would ask her. But I want you to notice down in verse 13 what he offers her. John 4:13. Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again." 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Notice where he takes her mind. Let's talk about reality. You drink at this well, and guess what? You're going to thirst again. You're going to have to come all the way out here and draw water. You're going to have to quench your thirst. You know what I'm offering you? I'm offering you a water that you will never be thirsty again. It's a water that wells up within you. It's a water that is life, and it springs up within you to eternal life. That's reality. Now, it's hard to understand that, but Jesus speaks reality to her. Look at her response, verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." Notice how her mind set. What is she thinking of? Coming out to this well. I got to come all the way out here. If you'll give me that water, I'll take it. So guess what Jesus does? Verse 16. Come on down. He said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. This you have said truly." You see that word truly? That's the same identical word used in Philippians 4, things that are true. Same word. You know, here she was, and Jesus began to talk to her, and she dealt in reality. "Go call your husband." "I don't have a husband." "That you've said truly." You're being honest, you're dealing in reality, and you're living with somebody. You've spoken what's true. She dealt in reality. And Jesus recognized that with her. You and I, we need to conform our minds to what is real. You know, I can remember back when the swine flu epidemic hit. You remember that? It's all over the news. And why swine flu was passing through our country. And people, they weren't going to eat meat. They weren't going to eat pork, you know, because of swine. You know what? Did you know it affected less than 0.5% of the people? And everybody's afraid of it. And guess where the mind runs? That's not reality. That's not even conforming to reality. Sometimes people have situations. You know, this Malaysian airline that just went missing. And they don't have anything. And all of a sudden people come running. I'm not flying anymore. Boy, I don't want you. That's not even reality. Somewhere along the line, we've got to start thinking and dealing in things that are true. And the things that are true must come from God. And we've got to deal in reality in regard to Him. I mean, how much stress do people have in their lives? You look at the stress. You look at the mental anguish. Where is the peace of God? Where's the peace of God guarding our minds and our hearts? And yet we're falling apart. You're going to have to practice these things if you want the peace of God to be there. And the first thing you got to practice, you got to deal in reality. You know, a realist, reality, true, is not a positive thinker or the power of positive thinking. I don't care what anybody says. A lot of people deal in positive thinking and they're not dealing in reality. You know, they're dealing in, well, I hope it doesn't happen, so I'll think positive so it won't happen. That doesn't make it real. You got to deal in reality. Let me ask you this. Have you ever sat down in real time and meditated on Scripture? Meditated on it. I mean, where you thought, just like that woman at the well, I want that living water. Have you ever sat down and just meditated on Scripture, especially at times are difficult or stressful? Maybe there's a little insight why we're not practicing things that the God of peace can't step in. Because when you meditate on the Scripture, you let these things penetrate your mind. You're going to deal in reality. And the God of peace is going to be there when you need it. So the first thing he says, you know, whatever is true. He goes back in Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, you know, honorable, some versions use the word noble. When we're talking about things that are honorable, we're talking about things that are dignified. Things that are dignified. And when something has dignity to it, it's something that is high valued. You and I need to think honorable things of God. Noble thoughts, dignified thoughts. Think of God in honorable ways. Well, let me show you the opposite when someone doesn't deal in honorable ways. Come back to John 12 this time. Just a few verses, make an application to it. John chapter 12. This is a man, Judas, and we know what happened to Judas. But I'm telling you, it's a great illustration of how someone walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, saw the miracles of Jesus, witnessed the massive things he did, and yet he never dealt in his mind honorably. He didn't think honorable thoughts. In John chapter 12, verse 4, Mary had taken this perfume and anointed the feet of Jesus with it. It was an expensive perfume, verse 4. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him. Now, notice what we have already. Judas already had an intention way back there. So he wasn't honorable anyway. So if you're not an honorable person, if you're not a person of dignity, if you're not a person to think in those terms, then why would you do honorable things when you're called upon? So he says, verse 5, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? I mean, what does that sound like? Hey, folks, we could go help the poor folks here. I mean, that sounds like an honorable, noble task, doesn't it? But you know what? Just because you say the right things doesn't mean you think on noble things. Doesn't mean you say honorable things. It sounded good, verse 6. We get a little insight to his heart. Now, he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. I mean, what do you think his thoughts were? They weren't on honor. His thoughts were always thinking about these kind of things, you know. Think of it this way. We all have. We've all been mistreated by someone. We've had someone take advantage of us, haven't we? Sometimes people have really taken advantage of us where it really cost us. What if you sit around, and a lot of people do, and all you think of in your mind is how they've wronged you? That's all it keeps. Every time you see them, it comes back to your mind how they wronged you. Now, how in the world can the God of peace come in there and give you any relief? How in the world can you make any progress in your mind, in your life, when your mind is thinking about things that are dishonorable, thinking about how they did me, how they treated me, how they went? And you know what's really starting to work in my heart? I'm starting to get bitter. I start to hang on to these feelings of resentment toward that individual. Oh, I may not do anything about it, you know, and I may never respond openly about it, but in my heart and in my mind, where God's trying to guard, I'm sitting there and all I'm doing is thinking about the things that they've done to me, and it angers me, it upsets me. And Paul said, the things you heard, that you learned, you practice these things. And honorable is what you practice. Don't worry about what someone did to you. What you need to start doing is concern yourself how you can help them make it. That's honorable. What can I do, Lord, to help the situation? That's honorable. But no, instead, we want to think about how we've been wronged. And I'll tell you, every single time you dwell on how you've been wronged, you will take on a bad disposition. And you tell me where the peace of God is. Paul said, you want the peace of God to be with you? Why do you got a little anxiety? Why you got stress in your life about this situation? Your mind's not dwelling. You're not practicing these things. Oh, you can talk a good game like Judas. Oh, I love them. There's no problem. But in my heart, in my mind, I know better. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right. Right. You know, when you think of the word right, we're talking about fulfilling your responsibilities. One of the greatest things that we can do is that when we say we will do something, we do it. You have to think about what is right. Doing things that we commit to, that's right. My mind needs to dwell. You know, that might teach us some lessons that we won't get ourselves in situations of commitments because we have to do what's right. Sometimes right deals with doing things in a straight way. I mean, I've got to deal with it in a straight way. Not just thinking about it, but following through with what I said. You know, we're faced with situations sometimes, and we know, well, I told them I would do that, and then something else comes up, I'd really like to do this. So our mind starts working on what? We start working on a way to excuse ourselves from this so we can go over and do what we really want to do over here. I mean, that's not right.
That's not thinking of things in a straight way. You fulfill your commitment because the Lord holds you to your word. And that's what He wants. Your yes and no, that's good enough. Our mind needs to dwell in things that are right, that are honorable, you know, that are noble. Our mind needs to think of things that are true and do the right thing, following through. He says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure. There's a tough one. Purity is the idea of being free from contaminations, where you don't take things out here and you bring them and you mix them and you mix them up in your mind. Contaminated ideas, you know, you remove evil thoughts out of your mind. You ever make an innocent statement to someone? Here's an innocent statement. And all of a sudden, someone sitting there turns that innocent statement into something off color. And everybody, oh, they start like, let me tell you what. That is a mind that's not pure. Because when something was spoken in innocence, we have mixed it in our minds with something contaminated. And we'll say it. We'll say it. You better practice the things of purity and dealing with purity. You know, when you think about purity, if you're an impure person, if your mind doesn't dwell in pure things, did you know you're going to always be suspicious of other people? Because you're suspicious of you. Well, that's the way they are. I bet you they did it. Impure thoughts, you know. And so you and I, we need to be careful that we're not thinking thoughts that are impure, but thoughts that are pure. He continues on, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. Lovely. Lovely things. Now that's not thinking of flowers and mountains and birds and, you know. I mean, when we're thinking of things that are lovely, we're thinking of things that are pleasing. Things that are agreeable, you know. And when you think of things that are pleasing and agreeable, you know what? You think in terms of, is it beneficial for their help toward God? That's lovely thoughts. Beneficial toward the Lord. You know, what I'm about to do, if I think of it as lovely, is it going to be beneficial toward God? Is it going to be beneficial toward them? Is it going to help them move down the road a little bit further spiritually? Now, let me ask you this. A while ago, we were talking about when you think of someone has wronged you. What happens when you get angry at that individual? When you think of that person who wronged you, tell me how lovely your thoughts are. Tell me how many thoughts you have toward that individual that are lovely. Ah, you're not going to do a lot of pleasing things for them. You're actually going to do the other thing. You're going to move away from that individual. And the longer you go at it, you can't let it go, and you just get this stranglehold, and all of a sudden, oh, mind, you're getting worse inside all the time. You want the God of peace to be with you? Think in terms that are lovely. And then he leads from whatever is lovely to whatever is of good repute. Some versions say admirable. Good repute. Speak well in situations that can be testy. Let your mind dwell on things that you can speak well of, not on things that are slighted or not lovely, you know. Things of good repute. Let's think of it like this. Some of you have come out of real bad
home situations, and I know that. I don't know everybody that has, but I know some have. What if we just sit around and talk about how you were raised and how bad your home life was and what your parents did to you or what your uncle did to you or what your aunt did to you? And how good repute, how admirable is all of that? You know what? When you were baptized into Christ, not only did Jesus forgive your sins, but you changed masters and parents. What was, it's no longer. It was buried, it was put away, it was dealt with by God. Now you need to start dwelling on things that are of good repute, things that are admirable, and move on from there. No sense in digging up a dead man, a dead woman, and bringing up the past that was tied to sin. No, I need to leave them down. My mind needs to start dwelling on things of good repute so that I can start speaking well and engaging well. And when I'm with other people, I don't have to tell other people all the sadness of my life. And here they are. What if they're going through struggles? And all you're doing is you're speaking your mind to them. Oh, I had this and I had that. And they're sitting there and they're carrying a burden too. But they don't tell you because you're too busy not speaking well for them. And so now everything goes down. You and I need to learn to speak well of things. Engage in that. And if you can't say anything, is there anything good about God you can say to encourage another person? Well, that's good repute. And then he ends up in verse 8, the last two things, and I'll put them together. If there is any excellence in anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Those two in particular are how your mind views situations in life. Things that are excellent and worthy of praise. When you view situations, when you encounter situations, you know, this becomes your focus. I want to talk about things that are excellent. I want to talk about things that are worthy of praise. You take some time and you go read 1 Peter chapter 1. Really read the first two chapters. Just read the whole thing. It won't hurt you. You know, read 1 Peter. 1 Peter is written to Christians that were suffering. And you know what he started talking about right off the bat out of chapter 1? The fact is that you have a place reserved. That you have a place that's not corrupted. It's in heaven for you and your children of God. And God made these promises. And so, guess what? Those things you need to be thinking about, praiseworthy, and things that are excellent, that no matter what you go through in this life, these things are intact. My mind needs to think about things that are excellent, things that are worthy of praise. You know, I mean, and then he goes on into chapter 2 and he talks about, you know, we were once not a people shown mercy. Now we've been shown mercy. We need to proclaim the excellences of God because of that. See, our minds aren't engaged in a lot of this because our minds, we have gotten into such a habit, we're being too human that we let everything affect us but what the Lord wants. And I sometimes find myself in this too. Why aren't we making any more progress than we're making? Where's the God of peace? Where's He guarding my heart and my mind? Because I can't think of anything of excellence. I can't think of anything praiseworthy. I face a situation and all I look in the situation is how bad the situation is, and nobody understands how I feel, and woe, woe, woe is me. And if there is anything excellent and anything worthy of praise, that's what you dwell on. Dwell on these things. If you don't, you end up getting trapped and your life stays down here. And when it starts happening within our brothers and sisters from time and time and time again, and these things keep snowballing, next thing you know, we have a congregation of people and everybody's doing the same thing, and we think that's normal. And Paul said, let me tell you, the things you learned, the things that you've heard, things that you've received, you practice these things. You better practice them, because that's the only way God of peace is going to be with you. That's the only way to have the guarantee. If you and I don't, if we're not practicing, you're not gaining spiritually. You're deteriorating. And the Lord doesn't want us going backward. We've got some work to do. I've got some work to do. But brethren, we've got to put it into practice and make sure that what we're doing, this is what the Lord would want. And don't go back to that other stuff. And if you've got a habit of something and you catch yourself, you need to start letting your mind go over there and dwell on those things, so you can make advancements to the Lord. Let your mind dwell on these things. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. A guarantee from heaven. I pray you look at yourself. I pray you'll be honest. And if you've not been practicing these things, you better start. Because every time you go, you don't, every step you take that you don't practice, something in your faith is being lost. It's being eroded away. Until you get really down. And then when you need to call on faith, there's nothing there to call on. All it is just book learning and nothing more. Paul said, here's the guarantee. Practice and the God of peace will be with you. May we practice these things.